A very good evening and welcome along to another edition of The Score. On tonight's programme, I'll be joined by Senior Operations Team Manager for Athletics Ireland, Teresa McDade. The Letterkenny AC coach will be discussing the return of athletics, the phasing in of the return of the sport as they look ahead now, of course, to national championships, which, fingers crossed, will be held later in the summer. Plus, there's a big one to come, of course, later in the year, the European Cross Countries in December. That looks like it's going to be the first major international competition of the year. On the Gaelic Games front, Donegal learned their opponents in the All-Ireland Senior Ladies Championship earlier in the week. I'll be speaking to Donegal boss Maxi Kern. His side will play Dublin and Waterford. We'll also be getting his thoughts on the grueling schedule which some of his inter-county players will now be facing into as he hits out at the provincial body and indeed those at the top table about the demands on footballers. But first of all, to soccer, and the FAI are meeting at the moment to review the process by which the decision was made to resume the League of Ireland season. The Finn Harps are scheduled to be back playing Premier Division football on the 31st of July, with promotion and relegation untouched. Now that's despite the season being reduced to 18 games. Shamrock Rovers were the only Premier Division side to vote for the proposal, which was ultimately passed mainly due to the First Division club's vote. Sligo Rovers and Waterford United have hit out at the decision, while Finn Harps manager Ollie Horgan isn't at peace with it either. The Premier League Alliance wrote to the FAI saying the decision was flawed and called for an investigation. Aidan Fitzmaurice is the soccer writer with the Herald in Dublin, and he says the FAI have a big call to make.
I think the one thing everyone agrees on is they want football to be back, Oisin. It's just how you do it. And it's funny that it's just come down to this one thing. When the pandemic started, the whole issue was about, talk was all about health and safety. That was the main concern. Would players be safe, referees? How would fans be handled? Could stadiums be sanitised? Then it would go on to the finance. And now the finance is in place and the last thing. And it's basically just come down to one thing, to a promotion or relegation from the First Division to the Premier. Everyone knows they want football back. We can't afford another delay. It's already the most delayed league in Europe. Other countries are nearly a month ahead of us now at this stage. That's a real concern to the clubs who are playing in Europe, that they're looking at the teams they will be playing in UEFA competition from the likes of Estonia, Hungary, Croatia. They're already weeks ahead. They can't afford another delay. It's just if the FAI board, how they handle the complaints from the Premier clubs and what they do about it. I think the easiest option will just be to accept the status quo, tell the Premier clubs that they just have to swallow it up and try and get them to accept that and to move on. Danger is Premier clubs don't accept that and make some sort of a threat about legal action. That's when it gets very messy.
Will the FAI overturn the decision, or do they have the power to overturn the decision? Or is it a case to throw it back at the clubs?
They have a choice to ratify or not ratify. So the NLEC, the seven-member National League Executive Committee, made a decision on Tuesday to proceed on this basis. That's what's annoyed. One of the reasons, a lot of anger from the clubs. It's not just the decision, it's the way the decision was made. They feel that, it was gerrymandered, that Noel Byrne from Shamrock Rovers, who was the chair of that committee, who was ostensibly there to represent Premier clubs, he didn't vote with the Premier clubs, he voted with the First Division clubs. So there's a lot of politicking going on, but there is a lot of anger there.
And Shamrock Rovers do have two clubs. Shamrock Rovers do have two teams.
They do have clubs, but the only one, it's really 19 clubs, so they don't have two votes, they only have one presence. And again, that's even odd that, you know, these First Division clubs who, you know, a couple of months ago were so furious about Shamrock Rovers 2 coming into the league. There was a situation recently where there was a Zoom call between the FAI and the First Division clubs that Shane Robinson from Shamrock Rovers 2 sat in on before the meeting started. The representative from Bray Wanderers objected to his presence on the call. It went to a vote of the clubs and they asked him to leave the call. So, you know, that was only about a month ago. So within a month, the First Division clubs have gone from not even wanting Shamrock Rovers in the room with them to now siding with Shamrock Rovers and having Shamrock Rovers on their presence. So again, a lot of the same stuff we've been seeing for a long time. Oisin, you know, self-interest. Clubs are looking after themselves first and football stroke the league second. It's the old way of doing things. Clubs can't see the bigger picture, the greater good. They're looking at themselves. You know, Sligo Rovers would argue that's their job. You know, if this goes through with the option of relegation, Sligo Rovers being at the bottom, more of a danger of them going down. Their job is to secure the future of Sligo Rovers, and going down would seriously harm that. On the other side, Drogheda United are thinking, well, we want to go up. You know, their option is there. So, but everybody's looking at self-interest. I think even in terms of the way the fixtures are being done, the Premier clubs are looking at the fixture list in terms of how many games, because there is that 3-point gap between Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers. Everyone is looking at the fixture list. Where will they drop points? The big fear about dropping relegation, Oisin, is that from the Premier Club's point of view, the title chasers, is that if there's no relegation, then towards the last couple of weeks of the season, they could all be dead rubbers. There's no motivation for, say, Cork City or even Finn Harps or Sligo Rovers or Simpats to put up a fight, because they know they can't be relegated. They won't finish in the top three. So they just feel they're under-19s and prepare for next season. That's one of the key reasons Shamrock Rovers keep mentioning the integrity of the league. So there are a lot of angles to it, but at the end of the day, clubs are looking after themselves first and not the league, and that is the problem. It's the age-old problem in Irish football.
Yeah. You, of course, have contact with the majority of clubs in the leagues, and in particular around Dublin. What's the general feeling there of as the clubs in Dublin, would they all go along with keep the status quo, or do, like what Ollie Horgan is saying here at Finn Harps, the league is less, so there should be less punishment?
Yeah, and then the problem to extend that is then is that the first division clubs would argue, well, they've less chances to get promoted as well, because their games have been cut in half as well. So if you boil it down to that, it still is, at the end of the day, somebody has to go down. That's the basic problem. If you allow for relegation, there's some leagues in the world where there is no, because it's a franchise system. Say the MLS in America, the A-League in Australia, there is no relegation because it costs so much to get in to the league. They don't want teams going down. It is very, very hard to get out of that division. We don't have it here. You need that edge of relegation. You should have something to fight for. And it is harsh. And Conor Hoey from Drogheda United was on TV saying the other day that, look, it is harsh. He's gone through two, you know, defeats in promotion playoffs in the last while. Some people feel, Oisin, that this is all hot air, that generally the trend for the last couple of years has been, more often than not, the Premier Club has won the playoff against the first division team. You know, so there isn't really. And the other side as well is, are people playing politics? I spoke to the Cove Ramblers chairman last night. You know, he said, look, it isn't about money. If the FAI offer them some sort of compensation or something like that to drop the promotion playoff, he said, look, we want the chance of promotion. I don't obviously think that Cove Ramblers want to be in the Premier Division next year. You had a situation last year where Capantilli were going through, they won the first bout of the playoffs, and Capantilli could have been promoted. The last thing Capantilli wanted, Oisin, was be promoted. They know the demands of the Premier League in terms of on the field, going up against Shamrock Rovers, Dundalk and Bohemians and Derry City. Off the field, the extra demands that be placed on you. So it is a little bit of hot air that I think it is clubs making points. You know, if Capantilli were in the position of going up next year, I doubt very much they'd be in a position to take it. So it is trying to find a balance between something that works for all. One option that may be floated today, and the board are going to have to try and throw this out, will be that to have a playoff for the first division, that instead of the system at the moment is one up, and then the other 2, 3, 4 are in a playoff. So four teams have a chance of promotion, but only one guaranteed promotion. If you had a one-up, one-down system, what may be suggested is that the entire league will then be a playoff. At the end of the normal season, you then have a 14 playoff. So you finish fourth, you still have a chance of promotion if you can beat whoever's finished top. Again, would the other clubs swallow that? If Drogheda United have gone through a season, finished top, they would say, we've gone up. We then have to go into another playoff. A lot as well as the consequence of money, that in previous times when the FAI were flush and when John Delaney was in charge, money was the answer to everything. They would have just bought people off. There would have been a grant. There would have been some sort of fund. There would have been a cup competition set up. There would have been something done. The FAI don't have that money anymore. So that's why if they offer them something, it would have to be in the form of possibly extra places for, you know, a way to draw for the FAI Cup. If the FAI Cup is reduced, which it may be, maybe more places for the first division. No, but, you know, it's trying to balance the two. What you're seeing coming out is a lot of animosity between the first division and the Premier Division clubs, that Premier clubs feel we've invested, Shamrock Rovers would feel we've invested in our stadium, in our training ground. We've done all this. We're looking to Europe. We've got professional players, full-time players, full-time staff. Other clubs would say the same, and they would say, well, what have Athlone Town done? What have Cove Ramblers done for the last 20 years? You've had chances and you haven't done that. You know, Athlone Town could turn around and say, well, without us, you know, you've nobody to play. And the chairman of Cove Ramblers, I spoke to him last night, he said it's about fairness, that the kid, 13-year-old kid or a kid playing in Cove, has as much of a right to play football and as much of a right, a fair crack of the whip, than a kid in Talla or in Fisbury, where Bohemians are, or in Dundalk. So it's just trying to square that and getting people to come on board. And we're also paying as well the price of probably 15 years of neglect of the league and of lack of freedom of speech and a lack of people being able to speak their mind. We're really up against that, where clubs haven't had a voice really for 15 years, and clubs are now getting a voice. And it's the new FAI trying to find a way around that. I don't envy the FAI trying to sort this out. It was, I think anybody, whatever happened, somebody would lose out. Yeah. Well, the FAI felt that left the least likely open to a challenge. But if Gary Keller from St. Pat's comes in with a challenge, then you've got a problem.
Yeah. Just finally then, Aidan, how damaging would it be to the FAI if they don't get this right?
You know, the league is in a very bad place, so we know that. There's no sponsor. Electricity leaving at the end of the year. There are not sponsors queuing up to become sponsors of the League of Ireland. There's no TV deal in place. Clubs don't get proper TV money. All of the sins of the past. Again, things we know. What the FAI promised to fix, they promised to bring in a regime where if Finn Harps are at home to Dundalk and it's on TV, usually Finn Harps lose game with that money because the gate drops because it's on TV or to move kickoff time, that Finn Harps will get a fee, same for anybody else, which isn't the case. So they are trying to move that forward. So the league is damaged at the moment anyway. One thing that's been lost today, you know, there was meant to be a meeting today of a steering group, which was set up between three clubs from the Premier and three clubs from the First to look at more fundamental issues, restructuring of the league, membership of the league, sponsorship, promotions, stadium facilities. That meeting is off. That work could go undone. So the danger is we need to get this season over the line and try and plan then to have a healthier league. So make sure we're not here every year. So I think it would be a court challenge if St. Pat's did proceed with that, would be a problem. I think if they back off and give the Premier clubs what they want, then you could have a court challenge from the First Division clubs. What they'll appeal for is common sense. Try and get heads around the table, except somebody's going to have to lose out. Just accept it for this year. Let us get started. Let us get football back. We can't afford another delay. We can't afford to go to court. Somebody give way, either the Premier or the First Division. Take your punishment. Just let us move on and get football back, because we can't afford another delay. That would be absolutely fatal.
Eamon Fitzmaurice of the Herald with his thoughts on the FAI's decision about how the League of Ireland will resume, and are they going to throw it back to the clubs once again. In other League of Ireland news, Derry City boss Declan Devine has added midfielder Joe Thompson to his squad. The 23-year-old has signed an 18-month contract at the Brandywell. He's played with various Scottish clubs, starting at Celtic and ending up at Dunfermline. Meanwhile, Stephen Mallon's loan deal with Sheffield United has been extended until the end of the season, which is to resume on July 31st. In Gaelic games, Donegal learned their opponents for the All-Ireland Senior Ladies Group Series this week, when Maxi Kearns' side were drawn with Dublin and Waterford. The Donegal boss has since hit out at the Ladies Authority in Ulster and at the top table, with so much pressure on playing and demands on players. He's not happy with the provincial body, who have now put an Ulster club competition after the Donegal club and just before the All-Ireland Series. Then in December, Ulster now want to run off the provincial inter-county championship. He says the fixture schedule is really, really tough on players.
It's probably similar to for most counties around the country, but look, we are a wee bit aggrieved in Ulster anyway that you know they're going to run an Ulster club championship after the inter-county championship, so they, you know, they have both the ladies and the men have kind of devised this club window and for to play club county championships, but you know rather bizarrely the Ulster council have, you know, been intent from day one that they were going to run their Ulster club competition as well, which means for us and Ulster especially that you know, the girls will play six or seven championship matches in Donegal throughout August and September, and from that they'll go straight to an Ulster club where they could have three games in that as well. That we've provided finalists for the last three Ulster senior club finals and even last year's junior final Ebora got to it, and then that should wrap up a week or two before the Dublin game. So it's a cruel schedule on girls. It's very inconsiderate, it's very neglectful of player welfare. You know, I know people accuse managers of being the worst offenders come player welfare, but I think this situation is ridiculous. Like, it's, you know, they're asking girls to play maybe 12, 13, 14 games in a 15, 16 week period at a time when they've had the worst pre-season they've ever had and the least amount of preparation. You know, there's even talk of them trying to ram an Ulster inter-county championship at the end of the All-Ireland series in December, running into January. So
that,
you
know, sounds wrong, Maxi. So it does.
It does wrong. It's very unfair. Look, it seems like people who want to look after their own league competition and are insisting that it gets played. Look, clubs do like to play in a provincial championship. I do get that. But, you know, we're all talking at this time about having compromise and some things have to give. In fairness to the men, they have said from day one that they were not going to play a provincial club, but that was one thing that they were going to take out of it. They decided to finish the National League in that window, which I think was a great decision. The National League is an important competition. It's got very important for the men over the last couple of years, and the side think relegation. And then on top of that, it gives teams a brilliant preparation for the inter-county championship series, which as we know is knockout. So, you know, teams of Donegal have got two real cracking games as warm-ups for the championship match, you know, home throw and away to Kerry. So, whereas the Gaelic are expected to have to head for Dublin, you know, completely cold and, well, you know, facing the possibility of not having some of our players, you know, up until a week before the game. So, look, we just feel it's very unfair on the Gaelic. It's put them in a very awkward position, and physically it's just so cruel, and I think it's just so ill-judged by the LGFA. We've seen across the water the amount of, you know, muscle injuries that are coming in the soccer players in the Premiership and the Bundesliga and that, you know, and these are guys with millions to spend on sports science and injury and recovery and all that kind of crack, and they're expecting our girls to be able to withstand this. Like, it's baffling, you know, so it's really, really disappointing from that perspective.
It's very frustrating, Maxie. Is that the general feeling with the rest of the counties involved? You know?
Oh, massively! Yeah. They are frustrated. You know, yeah. You see now this week with the GPA calls, and they're trying to, you know, get it across the line. The players can, once they end their club championship, can then join up with their county team, even if it is before the 14th of September. But the ladies board just seem to have a real disconnect, and that's not the Donegal board, may add. They've been brilliant, and their schedule is well thought out, and is going to be, it's not going to be an issue for us anyway. It's going to run through pretty quickly. But then it's this insistence on Ulster of playing this provincial club. Like, it just doesn't make sense to, and it's quite frustrating. And you have different county finals, different ending on different days, and you know, you'll some counties maybe waiting a week or two for the Ulster club to start, and things like that. Look, we asked them to bring the Ulster club forward and try and have it wrapped up at the end of September, but that wasn't, like, fell on deaf ears as well. And as I say, the intermediate and junior finals are due to play on the 11th of October, which is literally the week before we are due to play Dublin in the All Ireland series first round matches. So look, it's everybody's frustrated, and you know, when people say it's county managers trying to wield their influence and trying to claim players for themselves, but it's not. You know, just in this situation, it's just crazy in terms of the physical demands that's been put on the players and the pressure that's been put on them. You know, to ram all these matches into such a short space of time, as I say, at a time when, you know, when they're just, the bodies aren't prepared, their bodies haven't had the usual, you know, pre-season or early season work put onto them, you know, that's required. But look, it is what it is, and, you know, while we're frustrated, it's just something, you know, it's there now, and we have to deal with it, and it's unfortunate, but look, we just have to go on with it.
Yeah, you have to deal with it. The draw was made. Dublin and Waterford are the opposition in your group. You're always going to meet one of the big guns, you were, because you weren't seated on it, Maxie.
Yeah, I suppose that's another bone of contention for us, you know, and another frustration. I suppose we have with the house, the thing has been laid out for the LGFA. You know, there are 12 senior teams in the country, and everybody seemed to think that it's just going to be an open draw, and they were never going to go with the provinces, but like the men, because there's only one senior team in Leinster and only two in Connacht, so it's going to be an All-Ireland series similar to what they had before. So we were never going to be decided by provinces, but everybody just felt it would be an open draw, and everybody can get the end of the hat and have the same crack at it. But, you know, bizarrely, they came up with a seating system that protected the so-called Big Four and put them across the first names pulled out of the competition and sent them into a hat of a group of their own, which, you know, hugely increases their chances of staying in the competition and getting to the semi-final when they avoid each other. So that was created by dismay around the country as well, by a lot of teams, as to why they're trying to protect the established teams. And then I suppose the other frustration for Donegal
is that what they're trying to do, Maxie?
Well, look, I don't see any other reason. Like, you know, a semi-finalist gets protected for what reason? You know, a semi-finalist from a competition last year, what right have they earned to be seeded? You know, it's lost on us anyway. You know, and then furthermore, the usual seating system for the LGFA has been the four provincial winners, of which we are one, having won last year's of the championship. So for some reason they decided to ditch that this year and go with last year's four semi-finalists. So, you know, that was a source of frustration for us as well. You know, we felt kind of wrong by that. It meant that we were going to get one of the big guns regardless of what way the draw went. So, you know, but look, by Tuesday we were prepared by that. You know, ourselves and other office committees tried to challenge it, but we were told it was non-negotiable, that it was a fait accompli, and you know, you just had to suck it up and get on with it. So look, I suppose it's created quite a lot of frustration and anger across a lot of teams, but it's done now, and as I say, we have to get on with it. And look, we've been handed a lovely draw, a real haymaker, and the Dubs in the first one. So now, look, we know what's happening now. We know what we've got to do. It's practically a knockout winner takes all, because if you have to lose to Dublin and then they beat Waterford the next day, like, you know, you're gone anyway. So it is going to be heavy going, but it's going to make for a very good competition, I think, at the same time.
How big an achievement then would it be to get out of the group, Maxi, given what's going to be before you even start your All Ireland series?
Yeah, look, it's going to be massive. And I suppose with that in mind, you know, I think the fact that it's Dublin is a real opportunity for us to, you know, to focus the minds. You're not kind of looking at it with a tentative start. Well, look, you can get even to the championship. You know, you've got to hit the ground running, and you know, as you say there, it's, look, we've got a very tough schedule leading into it, but we know now what that schedule is, and look, we just have to deal with it and get on with it. Over the last couple of days, you know, people have said, "Jesus, this is a very tough draw, and the first draw you get in Dublin," and you know, by the way, we don't kind of see it that way. I sometimes see that the easy draw is not the best draw, and the toughest draw is not the worst draw. I have a bit of experience of competitions of this nature from my time with under-21s, which was played, you know, Wednesday nights in March back then, and it was just played week on week. And you know, while a lot of the GAA seasons kind of become a marathon, the under-21 is definitely a sprint where it's just bang, 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 week after week, and that's what this is going to be like for the girls. And you know,
that was condensed into a 4-week period, Maxi. What you're facing is considerably more.
Well, but it's the potential to be
considerably more.
Well, it's going to be four games as well. Obviously, we have you play your two group games. And then you're semi-final.
If you add the club competitions in the Ulster as well, Maxi?
In terms of the demand of the player, it's going to be huge. But look, as I say, look, we can't change it now, and we just have to get on with it in terms of, you know, hopefully you'll have 2 or 3 weeks before the girls before you get to the Dublin game, and you'll just try and get them recovered and prepared as best you can at that stage. But as I say, it's going to be a sprint then, you know, with that stage. From the inter-county perspective, and it's just going to be hell for leather, and you know, and having a team like Dublin on the horizon is definitely one that sharpens the minds anyway and gets everybody focused.
Yeah, I know you've been keeping tabs on the girls and what they've been doing individually. How's the programmes been going with them at the moment, Maxi?
Look, it's going okay. You know, you're dealing with a situation, I suppose, where you know, not every club is at the same level, not every club is training to the same level, and you know, across all levels, I suppose, of GAA, you've got a senior, intermediate, and junior structure in most things, and you know, some teams are just better organised, better set up, more experienced to train themselves maybe than others, and you know, and that's the concern, that some of the clubs will be going really well and doing loads, and other clubs, you know, there's some new clubs in Donegal just entered even for the first time in junior competitions. The likes of Oris there, they have a team this year that haven't maybe played this couple of years. Mallon we're looking to enter, and you know, and that's tough on them, and it's tough for us. You know, we have players in both those clubs, and you know, and you know, they can't be expected to be at the level of a Terman or a Umbavell or a Glenfinnan, who are established senior teams and who have competed in Ulster finals regularly over the years. So that's a bit of a concern. But look, again, there's no point whinging about it. There's no point in getting annoyed or down about it. It is what it is now, and you know, we have this game against Dublin on the horizon, and it's you know, that's where our focus is. You know, the Dubs have an aura about themselves, and you know, we feel that will help girls even on their own to train and try and get themselves ready. You know, if a game against Dublin isn't enough to raise the, as we say, the hairs in the back of your neck, you know, then nothing will, and that's why I think it's such a good draw for Donegal. You know, and I think that'll help the girls prepare on their own and keep focus on the eyes and the prize down the line. You know, Dublin's a game that's that's very winnable for us. We have a good record against Dublin over the years. It's always been competitive, even in my time. You know, sticking in 2017, we've played them four times and we've drawn twice and we've won one game each. And I don't think there's many can say that about their recent record against Dublin. And you know, even the last time I was involved, way back in the 2000s, my last game was against Dublin. Then we played them in an All-Ireland quarter final, and the game went extra time, and we got a goal with the last kick of the game. So you know, all that in mind, and then everybody remembers the great victory in Croke Park last year in the National League. And you know, all that makes it easier for the girls, believe it or not. You know, it's they know that they've got a massive challenge in their hand, but it's one that's so achievable for us and so winnable. You know, and if you can get over that, you know, we feel that the whole thing opens up big time.
Yeah. Are you home or on away against Dublin this time around? Do you know yet, Max?
We are. Well, the way it laid out, we're away to Dublin and home to Waterford, but I can't see that happening because I can't see them making Waterford capital in the goal. And then the way the thing has fallen this last couple of years, we haven't had any home games. Some teams have. We've had to play all our matches away from home as neutral venues because the majority of them are televised. So we would expect the Dublin game to be televised too. So, but listen, not to say that it's not going to be in Parnell Park or somewhere like that either. So it's, anything's possible.
When you won once at Croke Park, you can always win again, Max. Isn't that right?
Yeah. You know, listen, that's not forgetting Waterford, who are a very decent opposition as well. You know, we had a great battle down there in the league in Fraher Field earlier this year, and I took a goal from McCrory 6 minutes into the game to get us over the line by a point that day. And you know, they also ran Dublin very close in the league. So look, that's also going to be another big game. But again, one we feel that's very winnable for us.
Donegal senior team manager Maxie Curran. In athletics, athletes across the county have been returning to training, and some now have regional and national championship targets set. For high-performance athletes, qualifying for the Olympics will resume in December, while the European Cross Country Championship in the middle of December looks to be the first major international competition of the year. Letterkenny AC's Teresa McDead is senior operations team manager with Athletics Ireland. Earlier today, I spoke to Teresa, who said the work within the return phasing has been impressive and they are eager to get on with competitions.
Yeah, certainly. And particularly to Athletics Ireland, their guidelines around the safety and return through the different phases to work have been really, really good and been very helpful. And actually, I had a coaching and development meeting last night, and it's amazing how much work has been done. I think we're all finding new ways of doing things, and it's amazing what can be done when you think nothing can be done. But yeah, very much so. Now, looking forward certainly to getting back to some competition domestically, you know, first of all, in terms of some regions and national championships are for seniors and for underage are scheduled for August. So please go ahead and go ahead. And I suppose really that's the start of it, and we're all very much looking forward to that.
Yeah, athletes have been waiting a long time to see action once again, and in particular get competitions back up and running. At least now there's a target for them all there, Teresa.
Yeah, and I think too, sometimes, you know, even competition sometimes is just not always just about, you know, being the very best that you can be. And I think that sort of should be an ethos of people returning to competition, is to get back to the fun, the social side of it, actually doing what you love and not worrying too much about, are you really at your best now? You know, so I think from that point of view, particularly for kids and for, you know, junior athletes, I just think it's a great opportunity to get back again. And I suppose even from like a high performance point of view, with the likes of European Cross in December, it's an opportunity maybe for athletes to have kept a bit of focus over the last few months to think, well, there might be national championships in August or September, and that'll keep us ticking over, and then we'll start to get ready then for European Cross. So I just think it's the sunshine starting to rise, isn't it?
Yeah. Has some of the high performance athletes maybe tailored back on their training and where they would normally be at this stage of the year, given the circumstances and given that a lot of the big competitions, the major competitions have been postponed, Teresa?
I think that would be a fair assessment. And the sense that some people, I think it's been very much a mixed bag is what I'm kind of hearing, really, that some people have, you know, continued very much as normal. Some people have sort of maybe brought their break forward and sort of looked towards that. Some people, and again, you know, for whether you're trying to, you know, run 25 minutes for a 5K or run 30 minutes for a 5K, it's been an opportunity to sort of work on things that you don't normally get a chance to. So I think particularly high performance athletes and coaches have used this opportunity to go back to some fundamentals, go back to basics, address some maybe injury issues or niggles that have been there, looking at maybe, you know, parts of their training that they can actually, they sometimes just don't have a chance to work on. So I think there's been a very varied approach. Like, yeah. Also bearing in mind, I suppose, too, in terms of, you know, please God, all will go ahead with the Olympics next year, and we have every expectation that it will, and it's been rescheduled. But the qualification doesn't open until December. So I think with that in mind as well, too, high-performance athletes are keen to prepare the best way they can. And I think, too, also, like, from, you know, from an endurance point of view, endurance have been quite lucky because we have been able to train all along. But for some of the more technical events, you know, like sprinters, jumpers, throwers, it has been more difficult because of the fact that they haven't had facilities, and now it's great to see facilities starting to open that they can return to some form of training again.
Yeah, there'll be quite a few athletes looking at that qualification from December for the Olympics. We do, of course, have a few athletes already confirmed for Tokyo next year. Brendan Boyce will be one of those. But what's the earliest maybe opportunity for international meets for some of these high-performance athletes, including our own here from Donegal in the Northwest, to be part of something? Teresa, is there anything there scheduled in the summer, start of autumn?
There is certainly a few meets very much starting to open up around. There's been some opportunities starting to open up around August and September, which we normally wouldn't have. And I suppose really it depends where athletes individually feel they're ready maybe to sort of dip their toe into a competition yet, or are they happy to sort of wait till a little bit longer. And again, it's very much just starting to open up. So it's, you know, it's encouraging that it's starting to open up, but yet I think really each few days or even each week now, as we do open up, we'll see more and more hopefully meets opening up and opportunities. And then I suppose really athletes and coaches have to balance that in relation to travel and the risks of travel and do the weight. And again, I think particularly say for the longer distance, like marathons and that, it's depending on whether, you know, you're looking for the big city marathons again to open up, and that's more than likely going to be into the year as opposed to the end of the year. So it's very much, you know, tailored to what people will suit, but at the same time, very encouraging. And again, I just think it's great that we're starting, there's opportunities there regionally and nationally to sort of kind of start getting back into that mindset of competition with a view then to open it up internationally.
Yep. You mentioned the cross earlier in the interview. The European Cross Country Championships are scheduled for Dublin in December. And by all accounts, it looks like that's going to be the first sort of major international competition coming back. And I suppose the fact that the way that it's run and those that are involved, it's a competition that's going to suit sort of the phasing, is it?
I believe so. And for me personally, it has been keeping me going for the last couple of months about Eurocross, and as hopefully a lot of other people. For me, I suppose I feel that European Cross, it's right at the end of the year. It is, hopefully at that stage, a lot of, you know, travel, countries will be back travelling again. But I think too, there's a lot of things going for it in the sense that, you know, it's outdoors. European Cross wouldn't have massive big fields in it. You're not looking at, say, a mass participation marathon or something like that. You know, you qualify for European Cross, so therefore the numbers are limited. And, you know, I'm just hopeful that we will be able to have that opportunity to host it and for it to go ahead. And all indications seem to be. My husband is involved in the LOC, and, you know, he has been quite busy. They're having a lot of Zoom meetings and a lot of discussion, and things seem to be proceeding there as normal. I believe that European Athletics will have a site visit scheduled for September. You know, so it's all very positive, and please God, we'll be standing in Dublin on the 12th of December, listening to the national anthem at the start of the European Cross.
It's a big event to come later in the year, but in the meantime, let's go club-wise. How's Letterkenny been managing through all this, Teresa?
Yeah, we've actually had a pretty good lockdown from a juvenile perspective, I suppose we've been very lucky. The Dermot McGranahan, our RDO, has been very busy and keeping the club challenges going throughout all the clubs in the county. And I suppose really from my own perspective, from a senior perspective, we have had a club challenge that has actually started off quite small but ended up kind of literally growing legs, pardon the pun, where we would have had teams within the club and you might have had our captain team, if you like, which would be the likes of Owen McGinley, Danny Mooney, Monica McGranahan and Raymond Burst that would have devised some maybe not so nice exercises some week and then different sort of running challenges, and it actually really kept the whole, it kept us all as a group very much focused, and there was a good bit of banter on the WhatsApp group and so on, and actually interest, you know, as well. Actually what I thought was great was everybody as part of the challenge had to be videoed. So all the runners all had somebody in their family videoing them and getting involved, and you could hear people in the background supporting them or cheering them on, and you know, so it was very much a lovely family. The whole family nearly got involved in the challenge as well too. And then one of the most positive things of it all, I suppose, was we had a fund and managed to raise, I think it was €2,500 for charities that we split between, I think it was the Donegal Hospice and St. Colin Kills Hostel right beside the track there. So it actually proved to be, you know, a really good exercise, and it worked out really well. And there was some maybe, shall we say, interesting outcomes from it all. And there's a few alter egos that appeared through the challenge that were quite fun.
Very good. Well, Teresa, listen, during lockdown, novel things have been found to be very successful, and it's great that you've raised money for charity locally. But what's next now for Letterkenny and the phasing in process, and how are you going to evolve? Have you got back on a track yet, Teresa? Because I know there was.
We have indeed. Yeah. We have indeed, and we've been very fortunate. Aura, and particularly the manager there, Anya, and Aura and Letterkenny has been most helpful, and she's been really, really good at opening up that facility for us for the track earlier than Aura have scheduled themselves, and providing staff there to open the gate and so on. So, yeah, so we're back. I think we're back now a couple of weeks, and we did that very much within the Athletics Ireland guidelines of, you know, phase one, phase two, and now phase three, and equally phased in everybody, you know, step by step, if you like, to get everybody back. So I think that's the first thing, is to sort of get back to that routine. And I think the two is, you know, it's a challenge for people to get back to that, almost to carve out that time for themselves again and get back. And I think too, you have to be mindful that, you know, people at home have different situations in terms of, you know, people maybe at risk where maybe for, you know, I think this, it'll take us a little bit of time to build that confidence up to get back to training, and very importantly, I think, to get back safely. And then with the, you know, with the carrot, if you like, of competition and getting back to, you know, what we love best, is just great to have it back again, and I'm very happy to be back on the track on a Tuesday night.
Senior Operations Team Manager with Athletics Ireland, Teresa McDade, speaking to me earlier today. Well, that's it for another edition of The Score. You can, of course, go to the sports section of highlandradio.com if you missed any of tonight's programme. It will be available just after 8 o'clock. Until the next time, enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.